The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 517. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. We're going to be talking about movies on this episode, and my guest is a man that has made some movies. He is a filmmaker, a director, a producer, the creative force behind a new film called Golden. I'm talking about Mr. Nick Leisure. Nick's current movie that he has just completed is called Golden. It is an action film that's got bad guys, counterfeit money, double crosses, and it's certainly a fun film for anyone that loves action films. We're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about a couple of his other projects, too, and we'll even talk about what it's like to work with Brian Austin Green, somebody that he's had some experience with in the past. So I can't wait to have this conversation with Nick. And before I do that, I have a couple things that I need to take care of, some house cleaning, if you will. First off, I want to remind folks that coming up at the end of March, Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, is happening here in Hilliard, Ohio, which is not that far from Columbus, Ohio, March 28th and 29th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. If you want to check out some cool, unique, independent art and comics, then you need to stop by Space. I've always enjoyed going to Space. I've missed the last couple of years due to some other things on the schedule. So I'm so excited to go back. If you're interested and you're in the Central Ohio area, or heck, if you're anywhere in the Midwest and you want some more information, just go over to backporchcomics.com. That's once again, backporchcomics.com to get all the information. And come on out March 28th and 29th to the McCoy Center in Hilliard, where Space will be happening. All right, I want to thank a couple of sponsors real quick. First and foremost, the newest sponsor, which is Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion, health and beauty, and many other things, then just look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc. Simply just look for Courtney 614, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, or you might see it as Courtney, same spelling, underscore 614, but nonetheless, if you're looking for fabulous deals, follow Courtney. And if you do manage to buy something, then please let her know that you heard about her endeavors from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, my last sponsor that I have to thank, of course, is the old school sponsor, the sponsor that has been with me for a very long time. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So what you need to do is you need to stop by the store, especially if you're in Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can follow them online. WGComics.com is the web address. And if you want, you can check them out on Facebook. Just search for at WGComics. And I'd like to thank, of course, Courtney 614 Online Sales and WG Comics for being such a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. I truly mean it, and I appreciate it so very much. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Nick Leisure. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I am sitting down with a filmmaker, a director, a producer, and a man that has a new film that we're going to talk about. I'm talking about, of course, Mr. Nick Leisure. Nick, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing good. You know, I got to be honest, the trailer for Golden, which is your new project, looks really, really awesome. So,
thank you.
Can you give a little summary of the film without giving away too much?
Yeah. I mean, it's inspired by a true story of somebody that I knew that a 50-year-old guy turns 50 years old. He's been working for his dad's print shop pretty much his whole life. Feels like he didn't really live his life because he's been working for the family business his whole life, and decides to print counterfeit money, take it to Mexico across the border, and try to build a new life over there for himself by trading in counterfeit money for pesos and building homes and stuff like that in Mexico, and ends up not being what he expected. You know, gets involved with some cartel stuff, some corrupt police, and finds out that's not really what he should have done with his life.
Wow. It's based on a true story.
Yeah. Inspired by a true story. We changed it a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not pick up on that, man. That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well, what was the catalyst for you creating this film?
You know, I shot a documentary with the actual person years ago that okay. We never released. And so I still have the footage, and I always thought at some point this would be a really cool feature film. You know, so I kind of picked from the documentary and said, let me write something that's going to be along that side of this story and, you know, inspired by this story.
From what I've seen in the trailer, it appears that your cast is, number one, very talented, but also they seem to have great chemistry in the trailer. Talk to me about how you foster that good chemistry, or is it one of those things that you have it or you don't?
Between the cast members?
Yeah, between the cast members.
I mean, obviously we do casting calls and try to put together people that we feel are going to work really well together. Brian and I had worked together on a project years ago and became really good friends. We did another movie called Last of the Night, like 4 or 5 years back. And, you know, we just became really good friends, like brothers. We talk all the time, mostly about family stuff and other things. And so when I decided to do this movie, I wanted him to play that role. And then really it was really finding people that were going to work really well around him and compliment him as an actor and, you know, and just bring those other roles to life.
And you're speaking, of course, when you say Brian, you mean Brian Austin Green, who is the star of Golden.
Yeah.
He plays the role of Frank, which is the central character. It must give you a little bit of like comfort, though, because you've worked so well with him in the past. Kind of maybe didn't give him as much direction as maybe some other actors. Is that a fair statement to say?
No, I definitely gave him direction. <laughs> <laughs> What I like with Brian is that we are friends and we're cool, but when we get on set, it's like it's game time. It's ready to work, right? So I try to push things out of Brian that as a director should, you know, and taking him to a different level. I mean, even the first movie we did, there were times where we were shooting all night before on the first movie to like 6-7 in the morning, and there were times where I wanted him to seem really, really off. And so I told like PAs, hey, don't give him coffee and let me make him feel like he's sleepy, tired, and it would push him and he'd get irritated, you know, but the little things that we would do as directors to kind of get people in that actors in that mood to be in a certain way. And I think this movie Golden with Brian was fun. You know, we went through a lot of really crazy stuff in Mexico because we actually filmed in Mexico, but Brian did his own stunts. There were some times we were a little bit like, he probably should get off that motorcycle, you know, or, you know, the roads in Mexico aren't that smooth, you know. So, you know, it was fun. We had a good time and Brian had a good time and, you know, we created something magical.
What would you say was the biggest challenge in making this film? Would it be the environment of Mexico or was it something else?
Yeah, you know, I had shot many productions in Mexico since like 2016. And over the years, you know, you always have your challenges. You have corruption, you have corrupt police, you have all kinds of different things you have to deal with crossing the border with actors and equipment, things like that. But this last production with Golden, we had some really big challenges. You know, a lot of corruption going on at the time where we decided to finish probably about 20% of the movie in the U.S. after that. And some of it that actually took place in Mexico, we found spots in the U.S. to shoot that looked like Mexico and vice versa when we were there. But originally we wanted to film the whole entire movie in Mexico, even the parts that take place in the U.S. and create sets that look like we were in the U.S. But so we had some challenges there. So, but we got it done, and you know, Brian and I laugh about it. And we're like, behind the scenes probably would outsell the movie at some point.
And you know what? While we're talking about Golden here, we should let everyone know it drops March 20th on both VOD and in theaters. It's got to be exciting for you that we're almost there, man. We're almost to that March 20th mark.
Yeah, we're almost there. You know, it's coming up quick.
Well, let's talk about another individual that's in the cast that I'm curious to know about how he got cast and what your thoughts are on him. Of course, I'm talking about Robert Miano playing the role of Pop. What did he bring to the table?
You know, Robert had worked with one of my producers on a previous project before, and you know, he mentioned him to me, and I looked him up. I said, "Oh yeah, I remember Robert, like Donnie Brasco and all that stuff." And it's really, you know, it was one of those characters that you just, when you see his face, you're like, "Okay, like I know him, right?" And when I spoke to Robert about this role, it was just, he just fit that character. You know, it's like he looks like he could be Brian's dad. He looks like, you know, his demeanor and everything too was just fit the role really well and super easy and to work with and super talented. I mean, Robert just shows up to set and just has a good time. He's very calm energy and just a good guy to work with. I'd love to work with him more.
Can you describe your filmmaking style? And a follow-up question to that is, if you have a particular style, did you have to make adjustments because of the material for Golden?
My filmmaking style is probably, you know, trying to tell a story that's going to be very complete and not just what people want to see. I think some filmmakers want to do all the like tricks of the bag and try to, let's make an explosion here. Let's do something. And a lot of it is stuff that just doesn't make any sense to a story. So I'm trying to tell a story at the end of the day that makes sense, you know, and coming from a background of being a music video director before I became a film director, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, you know, music videos are just like, well, if it doesn't work, there's no continuity. We'll throw a background dancer in, we'll cut to something else, something flashy, a car, whatever. And I see a lot of filmmakers do that sometimes where I'm like, why was that even in the movie? Why, how does that make any sense? You know, or we're just cutting to some hot girl or something for no reason, or, you know, so at the end of the day, I wanted to be able to tell this story the right way. And of course you have limitations on what you can and cannot do based on budget and location and weather and all that stuff. But it was important for me to really, really tell that story the way that I would tell it. And I haven't really figured out like what my log line would be, I guess, as far as me as a director, who I am. Like, you know, I'm not Tarantino that's going to splash blood left and right all over the place, like, you know, but, and I'm also not somebody that wants to be pigeonholed into just one genre. You know, I've done horror. I did two horror movies after this one that are releasing this year as well. And then I've got another one on deck that's coming up in the next year that I'm going to be shooting. But then I've also have like scripts on my desk that are family stories, that are love stories, that are, so I like the challenge of doing something that I've never done before.
You know, can we go back there just a few seconds when you were talking about, you know, that a lot of filmmakers have fallen into the gimmicks, so to speak. In your humble opinion, where does that come from? Do you think that comes from because one director does it and does it well that everybody thinks they can do it? Or is it taught in film school? Or where do you feel why that's become a necessity, if you will?
I think people are afraid to be themselves because they are afraid to fail. You know, they're afraid to fall down. And if you think about life in general, anything we do, just walking every single day, we're falling forward. We're catching ourselves every time we step, right? So I think you have to be not afraid to fall. You have to be you know, creative. And a lot of filmmakers, I feel like, are not that way. They follow what people are doing, other people are doing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people say to me, oh, I could create something that's really low budget and it's a horror film and it's, you know, blow up like the Blair Witch Project, or, you know, it's like, okay, you're talking about something that came out like 30 years ago or something, you know, it's like one movie that happened like amongst the thousands and thousands that get made every single year. I think you have to figure out a way to reinvent yourself all the time. And even myself as a filmmaker, every project that I do, I learn from what worked, what didn't work, what could I have done better, and what will I do on the next production to make sure that I'm not following certain things that people tell me I should do, because more than often those things end up not being what's right for the production.
Gotcha. How do you manage to stay balanced? You know, I know your shooting schedule probably was very tight and you had a lot to do and you had long days. How do you unwind from a day on the set?
I go and I stick my feet in the sand and look at the ocean.
All right.
I try to keep very balanced in life as much as I can. As you know, this industry can be a little crazy at times. And I just had that conversation with a friend this morning about egos in this business. And a lot of times it's finding that balance for me is tough. You know, I don't have it down pat. You know, being a director in Hollywood, there's a lot of people that feel like you have to have a bigger ego. Like I get told all the time on social media, you should be posting more shit all the time. And I have a lot of stuff that I could be posting and saying, look at me. And, you know, we were on Access Hollywood the other day, or Access, you know, Daily and all this stuff. And there's certain things that I'm just kind of like, eh, is what it is. But so I try to find that balance between like putting enough stuff out where it keeps me relevant in this business and keeps me moving forward and having momentum, but not taking me completely out of this earth where I feel like I'm not connected to the grass and putting my feet in it, if that makes sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And a follow-up question to that, I assume that a lot of that maybe come from your own background as you know, growing up as a kid, were you, you know, kind of given that, no, don't let the ego get too far out of check. Was that like a philosophy that you got from somebody?
Maybe I grew up in martial arts. You know, I got
okay. First
belt when I was 16 years old. You know, I was heavy in martial arts until my end of my 20s, and boxing as well, and jiu-jitsu. And some of it probably came from that, you know, but also I think it's just life. I went through a lot of life stuff. I went through health challenges at one point. I beat cancer at one point. I went through a lot of different things that just really, you know, makes you look at your life and go like, what really matters in life? Of course, I don't want to give up my dream and being creative and doing the things that we want to do in life, but you have to be realistic about it too.
And how many years ago did you beat cancer?
2009.
2009. Wow. And you've been cancer free ever since then, obviously.
Ever since, yes. The rest of my life.
Wow, that's really inspiring, and I'm glad that you're healthy as well.
Yeah, you know, health is wealth, right? So
yeah,
if you don't have your health, you don't have anything else. Doesn't matter how famous you are, how much you've done, or how much money you have. So
I'm going to interrupt my conversation for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. So if you're in Ohio, you should stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. So you created Leisure Films Limited, and I was just curious, why did you decide to start your own company?
I had multiple companies since I started in production over 25 years ago. You know, it was at multiple studios, and Leisure Films was kind of like my home base company that I was going to run all my business through. You know, I did hundreds of commercials as a director and cinematographer, and it was back in 2016-17 is when I decided to really just focus on films and, you know, not do commercials anymore, not do music videos anymore, and just really focus on films.
I do want to ask you about your commercials that you shot, as well as the music videos. But before we do that, I have to give you a tip of the hat. While doing research, you know, I started reading about your work in music videos, and you worked with a particular group that I haven't thought about in forever, and that is After Seven. I have to say, I haven't thought about them in years, because I had their cassette tape. That's how old I am. I had cassettes, and I wore that thing out. Yeah. Ready or Not was a jam for me. I mean, so.
Yeah, yeah. They're like family to me. You know, After Seven, originally Melvin was in After Seven, passed away a couple years ago. But his son, Jason, who took over for him in After Seven, too, for a few years, is one of my best friends. It's like family. Kevon is like an uncle to me. Kevon was somebody who took a chance on me early on in my career when it came to directing music videos, and he had his solo album coming out, and I basically told him, hey, I'll make your video really hot, and if it's not, I'll quit this business. And so he took a shot on me, and it came out really hot. And then when After Seven kind of got back together and decided to tour more and do a new album and stuff, they tapped me for a couple more videos, and that ended up working with Babyface and other people as well. So they're like family to me.
That's awesome. So when you get a gig to shoot a commercial back in the day when you were heavily into that, what's some of the differences in terms of your technique that you have to use when you shoot a commercial versus when you shoot, say, like a short film?
Well, commercials are mainly, you know, product stuff. So a lot of times you don't have the creativity that you would as a director on films. A lot of it is just, it's just a job for me. It's like, hey, we're going to go shoot a Ray-Ban commercial. We're going to shoot a Nike commercial. And here's the idea that they have. And how do we get this on camera and make them happy about it? And, you know, a lot of times you're not working with the most creative people, and you're trying to add your little spices to make it even better. But it to me, ultimately, it just felt like a job. It just felt like I'm just doing something for a paycheck. And it's a good paycheck sometimes, most of the time, but there's a part of you that's like, I want to be creative. I got in this to be a filmmaker. And, you know, I felt that when I worked at ABC as a creative director, I loved the people I worked with, and the job was cool, but it wasn't pushing me. It was like, let me just create a lot of content for ABC and the news and the shows that were on ABC and stuff like that. But it wasn't driving my soul and feeding my soul in a way that as I needed it for being a director.
Okay. You have a couple of films coming out, as you mentioned before, a couple that I just wanted to touch base on. You have one called The Last Bride coming up with Charlotte Kirk.
Yeah. We just talked to Charlotte this morning. Actually, we just did the EFM market. We did AFM end of the year. We've got quite a few people that are interested, and we haven't figured out our distributor yet. We've been working with AMP and Anthony and those guys over there as far as our sales, but we're not sure where that's going to be at yet. But I suspect we'll probably have a release date and a distributor locked in probably in the next couple of weeks here.
Would you say that finding a distributor is probably like the hardest task in filmmaking?
I would say finding a good distributor is the hardest task. I've worked with a lot of distributors now, and you know, the circle of distribution is kind of deal with a lot of the same people over and over. Some are big distributors, and you know, and some are smaller. Not always are the bigger distributors better for your project, because I've worked with and done distribution on some big distributors that, you know, take your project and they don't really put a lot of attention into it because they have bigger projects with bigger names and stuff attached to it. And a lot of times some of the smaller distributors that are trying to get to the level of being that bigger distributor will put more effort and promotion into your movie. So you have to find that balance on what's going to work best for you. And every time I've done a distribution deal, I've learned more and more and more too, because a lot of those times those distributors will try to change, you know, like when I did Last Tonight with Brian Austin Green, that initially was not the title of it. The distribution company changed it last minute. They all think that they have some kind of creative input in there, you know, but it's like, they're not making the film. They're not creatives, you know? So a lot of times you get people that say they know the best about it, but you have to stick to your guns as a filmmaker and just stick to your guns and know what you want out of it. And if it doesn't seem like a good deal, it's probably not a good deal.
Well, let's talk about New Year's Absolution as well with Michael Capone or Capond. That's coming up. And where's that at in this, in the process so far?
New Year's Absolution drops straight to streaming platforms in July of this year.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Any other quick projects that you'd like to highlight as well? I know you said you have a couple more that are coming out. So would you like to tell us about them?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't have a lot that I can talk about just yet. I just partnered with Kevin Scott Frakes, Palm Star Media. You know, so Kevin was the EP producer of like all the John Wick movies, Hereditary he wrote and produced. Most, you know, a lot of the M. Night Shyamalan movies, Split, Glass, things like that. So, so Kevin and I are actually working on a script right now. We're in the second draft of this horror film called Dorothea. That was a story out of Sacramento too. And it was on a Netflix series called Worst Roommate Ever, about a lady who buried everybody in her backyard. And so we're like in the second draft of that script. And I'm hoping to shoot that within the next year here. Much bigger cast, much bigger budget. And then I'm also producing about 20 other films with Palm Star Media. So we're, you know, evolving and growing and creating and, you know, seeing what's next.
Okay. Well, before I get to my last question, let's run down social media real quick. And again, Golden drops March 20th, both on VOD and theaters. And where could folks find out about Golden or about you through social media?
I'm mainly active on Instagram under Nick Leisure. I would definitely stay, you know, connected on Instagram right now because I'm getting ready to do some promotional stuff and some Brian and I talked about it this morning. I may even do some giveaways for the red carpet event. Like, you know, come on and repost our trailer or something, and maybe I'll shoot you some VIP tickets to the red carpet and you can come meet the cast and hang out. And, you know, we like to do fun stuff. So tap in with me on Instagram and at Nick Leisure.
All right. Last question. If you had one piece of advice to give to anybody getting into the film industry, what would it be?
Run the other way. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know, I've had that question a few times. And for me, it's you better make sure this is what you want to do. Because this isn't, you know, this isn't what I thought or a lot of these younger filmmakers think is I'm going to make one movie that's going to be incredible. And I'm going to blow up and Hollywood's going to see me and I'm just going to take off. Those days are long gone. Like, it's all about consistency and, you know, you can create a great film. The hardest part is getting names attached to it, right? So especially if you've never done anything before. So once you start making some great content and somebody takes a chance on you and you get some names attached to it, you better make sure that you're continually pumping out great stuff, because the biggest mistake I see with a lot of filmmakers is they make one feature film and think that this is going to be the end all be all. Hollywood is going to love me and I'm going to get deals thrown on my table, and that never happens like that. So, you know, very, very, very rarely do you see anything like that happen. So just, you know, be in it for the long haul, make sure that you're going to put in the work and are dedicated to it, because it's not a quick road.
Very sound advice. Nick, with that, I'm going to close up shop with you here. I appreciate you taking some time out of your very, very busy schedule. Thank you very much for sitting down with me this afternoon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Nick talking about his new movie, Golden. And I hope you check out what Nick has got going on, because he's got plenty of cool projects. And I think it's about time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first of all, you can shoot me an email if you want to be old school. The email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also drop me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just go search for @PVDcast. And I'm even still on Twitter. I know, I should drop it, but I don't know. I'm stubborn. What can I say? Anyways, over there on Twitter, just look for my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. The first is you can check out every new episode on Thursday nights when they drop at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But you can also find it through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And since we're talking about those apps and outlets, please rate and review. It helps me out tremendously in the algorithm. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. There is, of course, a final way that you can check out the episodes, and that is through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast. So there you have it. You have three ways to hear the show: pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, or Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.